What's up, y'all? How we doing? Good? Okay. All right. Well, yeah, like Sean said, my name is Austin Mankin. I'm actually a sixth grade small group leader, too. Do I have any small group kids in the room? I know we had David was there. Where's Pierce? Let's go. We got two kids here. Let's go. But I'm excited to continue our series, and I'm going to start off with something very controversial, okay? I'm going to say a statement. And if you fall under these two categories, I want you to raise your hand. So I'm going to start by saying that there's two different types of people in this world. There are two different types of people in this world. All right, so you ready? Here we go. Here, how'd you already know? He knew. There's a dog, there's dog, and there's cat people. All right, let me see my dog people out there. Wow, we got a good, strong representative. Okay, where's my cat people? Oh, we got two? Three? Okay, all right. Oh, a couple of you guys coming out of the woodworks. I love it. Okay, all right. This is easy. We're getting to get harder, though. All right? I want you to defend your case, okay? All right. We got two different types of people in this world. Those who say Reese's and those who say Reese's. All right? There's Reese's and there Reese's. Who's the Reese's out there? We got one? I thought it was Reese's too, all right? I actually think it might be Reese's. It's Reese's Pieces and Reese's. All right, where's my Reese's out? There we go. We got a whole bunch of you. There's two different types of people. Two different types of people in this world. All right, we're getting harder. Here we go. Those who eat the pizza crust and those who don't eat the pizza crust. And I want to claim, if you're not eating the pizza crust, what are you doing? They got cheese infused into that bread. It's amazing. Stuffed crust. They got everything in that crust. They put bacon in the crust, I think. It's amazing. Okay. Next. All right, here we go. Don't ruin it for us, all right? Disney Plus versus Netflix. All right, where's my Disney Plus? Who got Disney Plus? Yeah, you did. The Marvel movies are on there. Who's Team Netflix? Team Netflix. Yeah, you are. Okay. All right, here we go. We're finishing this one. Here we go. Popeye's chicken sandwich or the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, okay? Hey, who's actually had the Popeye's chicken sandwich? What? You think it's bad? I loved it. I thought it was better. Now, customer service at Chick-fil-A, it's going to win out every time. But Popeye's chicken sandwich is pretty good. Where's my Chick-fil-A faithful out there? Yeah, you are. That's amazing. Hey, that's amazing. Well, that was fun. Hey, guys, real quick, listen in. Hey, the reason that I tell you that, the reason that we start there and why you guys are talking about it still, and there's so many opinions. Hey, is it the chicken sandwich? Who has the best chicken sandwich? Is it Netflix? Is it Disney Plus? The reason why it creates chaos and disagreement is because both of those categories that I told you are a matter of opinion. Like, the truth in all those statements that I told you is that they're a matter of opinion. All of them are matter of your personal experience, where you're coming from, what you think is better, but there's no right answer. There's no right answer, because it's all a matter of preference, and it's all a matter of opinion. And so in our culture today, there are so many things that are a matter of opinion. People are sharing their opinion all the time. They believe it's right, to the point, man, where we don't even know what's right anymore. Because everyone wants to share their opinion. We don't even know what's true anymore at times because everyone has an opinion. And so I want to talk to you guys about that there's something that we can believe to be true. And it's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. It is a matter of fact. And we can believe it to be true, not only because Jesus says it, but it's historically accurate. That it's proven over time. And so we're going to be talking about how Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way to God. Now, when I say the name Jesus, I want you guys to understand that I'm talking about the most popular man that has ever walked the face of the earth. He is more impactful and influential than anyone who's ever walked the face of the earth. And I say that because there's been more books written about him. There's been more artwork done on him. There's been more music written about him. That he is the most popular man to walk the face of the earth. And so I want you guys to know that regardless if you believe him to be true, you're going to want to listen to what he has to say. Because that's just wise. That's just wise. So we're going to be looking at two different statements in our time that we can believe that Jesus is the only way to God. The first one we're going to be looking at is the statements that Jesus makes. The statements that Jesus makes. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 14, and that's where we're going to be for this point. And when you're getting there, I just want you guys to know, before I start, I want you guys to know that, hey, everything I say this morning is not a matter of opinion. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm simply going to present to you the truth, the facts that Jesus says. And don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. All right? And so this isn't something that Watermark has made up or something that your parents made up or something that your small group made up. This is a matter of fact. It is truth that we can stake our lives on. All right? So we're going to be in John chapter 14, and we're going to be at verses 1 through 6. And so the context of this is right before the Jesus is going to go to the cross, the night before, he's going to share with his disciples something, a piece of wisdom that he wants to leave them. Here's what he has to say. Verse 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." In my Father's house are many rooms. And so Jesus makes it clear from the start. He's saying that I'm offering an invitation to everyone, that everyone has a chance to know me. There are many rooms. So he's saying that Jesus isn't just for some, he's for all. I'm offering it to everyone. And it's an invitation. And the knock on Christianity can be that, how can you say that Jesus is the only way to God? That seems exclusive. And by this statement, Jesus is saying, no, this is inclusive. I'm the most inclusive person because I'm inviting everyone. We all have a chance to receive this blessing from the Lord. And so what I want you guys to understand, if you're taking notes, is that Jesus offers invitation, not rejection. He offers us an invitation to know him, to be a part of his life. And he's offering that to everyone. And he's welcoming us in and saying, come to me. Come to me. And so he offers us an invitation, not a rejection. And so let's keep reading. Verse 2, "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take to you myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know that the way to where I am going." Here's what Thomas says. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we say we know the way?" Have you guys ever thought about that? Have you ever asked that question? How can I know the way? This is what Thomas is asking. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one," you guys say no one. "No one comes to the Father except through me." And so what he's saying is, hey, this verse is definitive. There's no wiggle room. There's no gray area. He's saying, I am the way. Not one of many, not multiple routes, no alternative routes or shortcuts. He's saying, through me is the only way to God. And when he says, hey, do you want a relationship with me? Do you want to have a relationship with me? That I'm the way. If you want to understand where life is, where joy and peace are found, then you would understand that I'm life. And he says, I'm the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth. He says, I know truth, I am the truth. In a culture that's telling you a bunch of opinions and feeding you lies, he's saying, I'm the truth. The answer is found in me. We can know the truth, and it is Jesus. And so we know that to be true. And so there's no room for confusion. There's no room for confusion. So me and my wife, we got married about a year ago, and we celebrated our one-year anniversary by heading to Colorado. We spent time in the mountains. Who's been to Colorado? It's pretty awesome. It's beautiful there. We wanted to get away. There's actually our son with the hat on. You can barely see him, but he's right down there. He's asleep, and I'm wearing him like a backpack. But anyways, we're in Colorado. And we're going to a place that we've never been before. And so before I get online and I look at flights, before I get online and look at different area, what we should do there and advice, what's the first thing that I do? The first thing that I do is I'm going to call my friend who's been there. My friend who's been there and he knows the restaurants to go to, he knows what pizza places you can go to, he knows what sights to see, what's the best trails to look at and best view of the mountains. He knows everything. So what I'm gonna do is I got on the phone and I called him. And I called him because he was a credible source. I knew he would tell me truth because he had been there before. And I want you guys to understand, in the same way, Jesus has been to the destination that we want to go. He has been there before. Scripture says that our time on here is short. Our time in here is on earth is short. We'll spend eternity somewhere. And Jesus knows the directions to the destination we're going. And so we would be wise to listen to his advice. And he's saying, I am the way. This direction is through me. It's through me. Let's look at another verse. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one. You guys say no one.
No one.
No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's no one else. And so, guys, this statement that I said, that I'm saying about no one else can go to God except through Jesus, man, that's a controversial statement. It might not be in here controversial, but as soon as you walk outside, you know why it is? Because there's about 4,200 different religions out there. 4,200. Like, how can you say that Christianity is the one way when there's so many out there? That doesn't make any sense. And so we need to understand why it is that Jesus says, hey, I'm the only way. Why is it true? And so I want to take a look at some other religions and what they claim and compare them to Christianity. So we're going to look at just five real quick and talk about them. So Buddhism, they believe you reach God through a process of personal effort and enlightenment. Hinduism says you have to achieve nirvana and have a good enough karma. Muslims believe you have to follow these five pillars and work towards a life of morality in order to get to paradise. Jews believe you have to strive towards following the Old Testament law. And so what do all these have in common? Notice I use phrase like reach, personal effort, achieve, work, strive. All of these have in common. What do all these have in common? They have work. Work. You have to do enough good in order to reach God. That is what all these religions claim. That you can somehow work your way up to be good enough for long enough to where you can somehow earn favor from God. And what Christianity is going to state is that's not the case. Because none of these religions, they solve the problem. None of these religions will solve the problem. So what is the problem? So that's the next point I want to lead to. My second point is the problem Jesus solves. So what is our problem? What is the problem that Jesus came to solve? So our problem is sin. Our problem is sin. That Christianity is the only religion that ever existed that addresses the problem of sin. That you and me, we are sinful. And we serve a God, and he's out there. He's a sinless God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. And he wants to have a relationship with us. But in order to be holy and perfect, he cannot live in proximity with us. Because that would not make him perfect. But he said, I want to have a relationship with you. And the way I do that is sending my son to serve the penalty that you deserved. And so Jesus, he was born. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. Therefore, we don't have to work towards God. He did it for us. He's simply saying, don't earn, receive. Receive the gift of salvation. And it's found through Jesus. It's found through Jesus. There's one way. And so I want you guys to understand that there's one way. All other religions talk about how we can get to God, but Christianity talks about how God came to us. I want to say that again. All other religions talk about how we can get to God, but Christianity talks about how God came to us. And so, man, when we're trying to work for something, but we don't understand, other religions will say, hey, you have to work long enough and hard enough to eventually maybe you can appease God of the universe. And Christianity is saying, hey, I've done it on your behalf. And you can know for sure. You can know for certain that you have eternal life through Jesus. And so 1 John 5:11-13 says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. And this is life in his son. Whoever has a son has life. Whoever does not have God's son does not have life. I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. Everyone say no. So that you may know you have eternal life. That word, know, K-N-O-W, that we can have assurance of our salvation. That we're not a coin flip away from heaven, that we don't have to guess if we can get to heaven or not. But God's saying, hey, you can know for certain that you can have eternal life. And that is found through my Son. You don't have to leave it up to chance. You don't have to guess. Jesus is saying we can have security in our relationship with him. And all these religions say, hey, you can't necessarily have security because you have to work. You have to do these things. And Jesus is saying you can have security. And it's found in my Son. And so we're going to play a little game. I got up here on stage, I have a big box. You guys ready? You want to see what's inside? Ooh, we got a massive box of Starburst right here. I'm ready. I mean, I want to give away some candy today. All right? I'm feeling generous, okay? It's the Christmas season. I'm feeling real generous. I'm trying to give away some candy. Who likes Starburst? Wow. Okay, that's a lot of y'all. All right? Well, I'm going to take two participants. All right? So raise your hand. All right? Right here, purple sweatshirt. I need a girl. Girl. Right here. There we go. All right. Jump on stage. What's your name?
Asher.
Awesome. Asher. And tell me your name.
Abigail.
We got Asher and Abigail. Okay. Guys, listen. The rules of the game are very simple. All they have to do is guess how many Starbursts are in this tub, and they win. I'll give them the whole thing if they simply guess what's in there. They just have to guess it. But the thing is, you cannot get one or two off. You have to get it perfectly right. You have to get the answer perfectly right. Okay? All right, so I'm going to give you guys 10 seconds to look at it. You can't touch, but you can look at it, and you can guess how many are in there. So think about it, look at it, explore it. What do we think? Get your eyes real close, study it. There you go. Good. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, here we go. Time. All right, ladies first. Actually, yeah. All right. You can share your answer. What do you think?
423.
Wow. What do we think? That's high or low? Okay. 423. What do we think?
516.
He says 516. Guys, do we think that's low? There are 1,433 Starbursts in this container right now. They are way off. But that's the thing. What was the name of the game? What was the rules of the game? They had to guess it exactly right. So unfortunately, I'm sorry, you're going to have to sit down. Neither of you guys win, because that was the name of the game. You got to sit down. The name of the game was that you had to be perfect. You had to know the answer, all right? And it wasn't a matter of them, you know, looking and studying and trying to add up how many rows and try to multiply at times how many rows there are. It wasn't a matter of them doing that. The way they won the game is they knew the answer. That their work was not good enough. And even if they gave an answer, they still weren't sure if it was right, because their work could never get them the answer they wanted. The only way they could get the answer they wanted is if they asked me, who had the answer. And there was one answer to win this. There's one answer. And in the same way, Jesus is saying that there's one answer, and it's found through me. It is found through me. And you can't work for it. You can't guess and hopefully get there. You can only find it through me. And I am the answer. And I want to give you eternal life. And so our effort is not good enough. It's impossible in order to get to God. But Jesus is the only way. And so I want to ask you guys, I'm going to say a statement. And I want you guys to think about this real quick. If we could get to heaven any other way than by God killing his Son, then Jesus' death is a waste. It's a waste. If we could get to heaven any other way, Jesus, who bore our sins, who lived and who endured an agonizing death where whips were on his back, where he had to put nails through his hands, he had to sit on that cross and die for us, and endure the cross and the pain and the punishment that he had to endure. He had to endure all of that. If there was another way, then his death would have been a waste. But God said, the only way to pay for your penalty that you deserve is through my son. And my son's going to do the work for you. He's going to do the work for you. And so I want you to ask yourself this question. Why would God allow the sacrifice of his only son if there was another way? If there was another way, there's only one way. And that is through Jesus. And so John 3:16, we know all that. We know that verse. We've heard that verse. Tim Tebow made that verse popular. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave who? Who did he give? His one and only son. Because he knew through his son we would have eternal life. And so I want to finish with this, guys. What does this mean for us? Now that we know the statements Jesus makes, now that we know the problem he solves, what does this mean for us? What's the response that we should have? What's the response? Because, man, as soon as you guys walk out into the parking lot, you leave this building, you go to lunch with your family, as soon as you hit the parking lot, you are going to face trials. Whether that's you face them now or eventually. You might be going in through one now, or you might be experiencing one later in life. But we have to understand, man, we can trust that Jesus is the only way to God through the testimonies of those who have a relationship with him. You pick up a Watermark News. Read that Watermark News. Have you ever read that? Man, that's a story of someone who's experienced life change through the power of Jesus. And they've transformed their life. And he said, Jesus doesn't just want something from you. He wants a relationship with you. That he wants a relationship with us. And he's given us hope and a future. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. And so we can have confidence. We can have assurance. John 16:33 says, I have told you all. He says, I have told you all that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Take heart because I've overcome the world. God doesn't want us to do life on our own. He wants life with us. Yes, he's a perfect God, but he's also personal, that he wants to have a relationship with us. He's not distant. He cares about your needs, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And so when you walk outside of these doors, I want this to be a truth that demands a response in your life. To where you don't have just this faith that is not informed by scripture. Because when you get tested, when your faith gets tested, and someone asks you, hey, is Jesus the only way to God? How can you say that? That seems arrogant. That seems small-minded. That seems narrow-minded. You can say, no, I understand it. Because the statements he makes and the problems that he solved, the problem he solved was sin. And I'm a sinner, and y'all are a sinner. We need hope through Jesus, who can only pay the death that we deserve. And so we have an answer, and I want you guys to understand that. When your faith gets tested, what matters is what you believe. Not what your parents believe, not what your small group believes. It's what you believe. And so I'm going to finish with this story. In 2013, there was a state basketball playoff game, and it was in Oklahoma, and it was the game was on the line. The team was up 37-36. They were up 1 point, 2.9 seconds left on the clock. Okay? And so the team that's up has the ball. All they have to do is inbound the ball. Game is over. Game is over. They've worked all season. They've worked all playoffs. They're ready. This game is on the line. And all they have to do is inbound the ball, run the clock out, game over. They're up, and they win. They go on to the next round. Let's take a look at what happens. Did you guys catch what happened? He scored it on the wrong basket. State playoff game. They were up by 1 point. All he had to do was run out the clock, and he grabbed the ball, shot a layup on the opposing team's basket, and won the game for them. Game over. Imagine that feeling. Embarrassment. Your body just sinks into the floor. Sports Center, not top 10. Like, I'm telling you, that is crazy. And the sad thing about that, guys, lock in real quick. The sad thing about that video and that story is that he sincerely thought he was right. He thought, man, this is the basket. I'm going to score. I'm going to win the game for my team. We're going to state championship. And he realized as soon as the buzzer sounded that he had got it completely wrong. And I want you guys to know that if you are a follower of Jesus in this room, there are people around you that believe that they're going the right way. They believe that their way is right. They believe that they can get to heaven through their good works or their good deeds. And if you notice in that video, none of that guy's teammates tried to stop him, tried to say, hey, no, it's down there. The basket's that way. No, they let him go. And none of us would look at those teammates and say, hey, that's unloving to point him in the other direction, would we? We'd say, no, that's wise. That's wise to point him in the other direction. And so I want you guys to know if there's people around you that need to know what direction to go, and they are lost. And our job as followers of Christ is to point them in that direction, to show them the way. And that is not arrogant. Man, that's loving, to point them in the right direction. And when he shot the ball and he scored the layup, did you see the look on his face? He just sunk. You know why? Because he knew that the buzzer had sounded, and he couldn't go back and change the score. He knew he couldn't go back to change the score. They lost the game. And we're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to have two eternal destinations, heaven or hell. We're going to have to stand before God one day. And when that buzzer sounds, when the game is over, when we're standing before God, we can't go back and change what we wanted to do. The person we wanted to share our faith with, we can't change that. We have a chance now. So if you don't know God, I want you guys to understand. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to understand tonight, or this morning, excuse me, that he is a loving father. And we can understand that through the statements that he makes, that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's inclusive. We all have an invitation to understand him. And that is a truth that we can stake our lives on. And that's a truth that demands a response in our life. And so I want you guys to ask yourself this question as you leave. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because the way you answer this question is going to determine what direction you go. Two eternal destinations. And Jesus is saying, I'm the way to heaven. And we'd be wise to follow him. All right? So I'm going to pray that you guys do. All right? Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you've clearly laid out in your word that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. It's found through your son. I pray that anyone in this room who is struggling to understand that, who doesn't see that, to see that you're good, that you would show them that through your word you've demonstrated your love for us, that on the cross you paid the penalty, and that you love us and you want to have a relationship with each one of us. So pray we walk out of the room with an informed faith, a faith that is informed by your word, and that we can share with others who don't believe it the hope that we have. In your name we pray. Amen.